American woman.
It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Thank you for joining us. I greatly appreciate you. Today, live with purpose, live with intention, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You are treasured and valued. Thank you to the team I get to work with, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is Thursday. Happy Thursday to you, producer Steve.
Yes, happy Thursday, and one more day to go.
One more day to Friday, and all of the work that we have to do. You look at this headlines of in the packet that Patty has provided. There is so much to talk about. Big show planned for you today, though. We'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio and also Dr. James Lyons Weiler regarding the experimental drug vaccine mandates. And passports, which is a very important conversation to have. Also, Karen Levine will be in, and there's a new fee that Denver, I think, is trying to put on rental properties, and we're going to talk about this transportation bill in a little bit this morning and in depth next week. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. All of the recaps and podcasts of our past shows are there. We are a bit under construction, and Charlie, producer Charlie, said that a listener had called in to find the archives, and we've got a couple of little things that we need to improve on that. So we're working on that, but it is a really good website. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Monson podcast, and our most recent op-eds. And you can do that at Kim Monson, MONSON.com. And that's where you can email me as well. And that's Kim at KimMunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to help keep our independent voice on the air as we look at issues between the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We search for truth and clarity in these issues. And if something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff, whether or not it's with a weapon policy or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And it's just not a good idea. I started to go through this bill of the day, Steve. And when I was on city council, this is the thing about when I say that the other side is playing long ball. This is something that continues to come forward. And this is the other thing that is so frustrating to me, is to have Republicans that are out there pushing this. And one of the people at the forefront of this is a guy that I supported when he was running for governor, and that was Mike Kopp. He is now the executive director of Colorado Concern and also one of the organizations that is pushing this forward. And I am very, very frustrated on that, Steve. And there's a number of Republicans that have their hands all over this because they're reaching across the aisle to compromise. And when you look at what this does to the freedom of mobility in Colorado, I am very frustrated about it. We're going to delve into it more next week, but I'll give you some lowlights here in just a minute. Have you looked at it all, Steve? I know it came across the headlines today.
Yeah, not only looked at it, but printed out. So I could, highlight some things. It's frustrating sometimes. You'll say something, and when there's this many pages, on your computer screen, sometimes you'll hit on something, and I think, oh, gee, where was it? I start scrolling like a maniac. So I actually printed out three pages worth, fairly small font. So yeah, there's you could spend the rest of the day talking about this one.
Yeah, so we're going to dedicate one of the shows next week to delve into this further. But a couple of other things, just some things before we get to that. America's Veteran Stories, which is on this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. We've continued with our series of Echoes of Our War, Vietnam Veterans Reflect 50 Years Later, and riveting. Mike Frazier, Marine Vietnam veteran, he was one of the guys, Grady Birdsong, who we also interviewed, said that Mike was over there early, really stirring things up, if you will. But he, his story of walking point through Vietnam was absolutely riveting, and I would highly recommend that you listen to the show this week. They do replay that 10 to 11 p.m. on Sunday nights as well. But I found the stories really powerful, Steve.
Yeah, I agree. It's one thing to sit here, you know, while you guys were on the other side of the glass recording the other day, and then I go home and I start reading the book. And it's like it's coming at me from both directions. But, you know, we've said it before, not to be redundant, but we were not in it to win it. And the guys knew that. I mean, whether they got a sense of it on their own or if it was just, you know, the buzz being passed around from one platoon to another, one command to another, it's like, what are we doing here?
Permission to shoot back, or permission is, or yeah, permission to shoot first, I think it was. It's crazy what was happening there. But these stories are super important, and I would highly recommend that each of you get this book, Echoes of Our War, Vietnam Veterans Reflect 50 Years Later. And of course, Paula Sarles is doing all this work to honor our Marines, our military, by remodeling the Marine Memorial out there in Golden. And I tell you, after yesterday, when we see that the Pentagon has not given permission for a permit for a Memorial Day parade that has gone on for years, you may want to do something to honor our military, and I would suggest that you go to usmcmemorialfoundation.org and contribute so that we can honor our military right here in our backyard. It's beyond belief what's happening out there, Steve. But I'm learning that many of these admirals and generals, many of them, not all of them, but many of them are more political animals than leaders. And that's what we're seeing happen right here with this this action at the Pentagon. Of course, I'm sure there's pressure from the Harris-Biden administration and those that are pulling the strings on that administration, Steve.
Well, this event in Washington you just referred to is a, if I'm looking, if we're speaking of the same event, it's basically a biker thing where these veterans come from all over the country to participate in this event. And right now, it's kind of up in the air. But I'm watching also what's going on in South Dakota for Mount Rushmore. The governor of that state is obviously in confrontation or in a collision course with the White House.
Well, and you know what's going on there is the Biden administration, the Harris-Biden administration, and those that are pulling the strings have said that Mount Rushmore, they could not have a fireworks display on the 4th of July. I mean, honestly. Is this what is going on? But the positive thing is that the veil is off, the mask is off on this agenda. And we see that there are people now in the highest offices of our country that don't like our country, Steve. And our country is made up of everyday, hardworking people that are just pursuing their dream, their life, their liberty, and their pursuit of happiness. And my gosh, we do not see an immigration crisis for Russia right now. We don't see everybody trying to get into Cuba. How about North Korea? We don't see an immigration problem over in China. It's here. And there are people that are not trying to protect our country. However, this sleeping giant of the America is waking up. But we have got to be acting. I imagine this transportation bill is going to pass, but every Republican that is out there supporting it and touting it, take names, because we have got to show up this next election and make changes on that, Steve.
Well, it's going to be one of those things that looks good on the surface, but when you start diving into it, you realize, and you know, what's the price tag? $5.3 billion? With a B. Okay, something... Let's back up here. Let's take a closer look at what's really going on.
Yeah, and only $3.2 billion is going to go to state highways, bridges, and tunnels. So where's the rest of the money going to go?
And electric vehicles.
Yeah. And so I think that we will just have this as a teaser, because I think you can understand that I am very frustrated with this particular bill and the Republicans that have not stood on this. And this has been happening, this pressure, for years. I was on city council beginning in 2012 and saw the same players, the same agenda here. And now it looks like it may pass, but we're going to shed light on this next week. Before we do get to the next portion of the show, our quote for today is Benjamin Rush, and he was also a founder.
I'm glad you got to this, because of Jill coming on here in a few minutes. You need to do this.
Jill, it's interesting. James Lyons Weiler, his nickname is Jack, and so here we're going to have Jill and Jack on today. How did that work out?
Not to be confused with Jack and Jill.
Exactly. But Benjamin Rush was a signer of the United States Declaration of Independence and a civic leader in Philadelphia, where he was a physician, politician, social reformer, humanitarian, and educator, and founder of Dickinson College. He attended the Continental Congress. He was born in 1745. He died in 1813. And Jill was, Dr. Jill was really the one that I learned about Benjamin Rush from. And he says this: unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an undercover dictatorship to restrict the art of healing to one class of men and deny equal privileges to the others. The Constitution of the Republic should make a special privilege for medical freedoms as well as religious freedoms. Can you believe it, Steve?
I go three different ways with this. One of them is Big Pharma. But again, you find these quotes that are hundreds of years old, and they could have been made yesterday.
Well, and this one is really a time for today. When people try to discount our founders, when we talk about the divine provider having his hand on these providers, or our founders, we realize that they had wisdom. They really thought long into the future. And right there, Benjamin Rush saw, I think he was speaking of a time that we are addressing today. And so to discount this movement to discount our founders is trying to discount us from looking at their wisdom. And I thought this was so appropriate for today. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is a great sponsor of both of my shows. They have all kinds of specials. They have lunch specials, to-go specials, dine-in specials, kids eat free. And with all that's going on, it is a good time to just step back, maybe watch a sporting event on television, get together with friends. Hooters Restaurants is a great place to do that. And go to my website, go to the sponsors tab, click on that. All of my great sponsors will be on the drop-down menu. Click on Hooters and it'll have all of their specials there. But let's go to break. When we come back, Dr. Jill Vecchio will be weighing in on these experimental drug vaccine mandates, passports. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. Certainly appreciate that. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. She is one of the few people in America that read the complete PPACA, the Unaffordable Care Act. She knew what was in it. She's a healthcare expert. She has gone to Washington to try to push forward some healthcare policies that make sense. And Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show. Did you ever dream that we would be where we are now?
Isn't it amazing? The colleges, and I had a friend that called a few days ago just absolutely, like, you know, smoke coming out of her ears. Her son has is on scholarship to MIT. I mean, this isn't gender studies, right? I mean, this is MIT, become a rocket scientist kid on scholarship, and MIT is requiring the vaccine to attend classes. Now, Colorado, the universities in Colorado are not the only ones. It's like, who isn't? There's an article with all listing all of the colleges by states, and it's kind of interesting. I mean, all of the Ivy League except Harvard wasn't listed, which I found interesting. But Stanford, Princeton, Rutgers, I mean, all these others are. Iowa, only one small teaching college in Iowa is requiring it, none in Florida. So it's as interesting to see who isn't requiring it as it is to say who is. Let's see, in Texas.
Well, and to that point, I don't think I don't think I really set that up on that, Jill, because there's recent reports that CU in Colorado Springs, CSU and CSU Pueblo are requiring the I don't know what to call it exactly, the COVID-19 experimental drug vaccine for students, faculty, and staff for the fall semester. However, Colorado Mesa University of Grand Junction will not if your kids are going to go to college. Right now, I'm not convinced that unless you're going for some of the hard sciences, I'm not convinced that kids should spend all this money to go and have families or take on college debt to do that. But this is really of great concern. And Jill, you were the one that really, I didn't really know about our founder, Benjamin Rush. And it was, I think that you were doing a debate or something.
Benjamin Rush Society was started by a Pacific Research Institute. It's a medical, kind of a medical research institute. Sally Pipes is involved with that. Some people may have heard her.
Right.
So yeah, Benjamin Rush, she started that, and they started chapters of the Benjamin Rush Society in medical schools to try to teach medical students about, because they're all getting so indoctrinated into single-payer health care and all this, so they wanted to have some active debate in medical schools about freedom in medicine. And Benjamin Rush was one of the signers of, I think there were four physicians that signed the Declaration of Independence, and he was one of them. So you hear quotes from him, because he was very, very vocal and active, did a lot of writing and speaking. Very impressive guy.
Kind of like you. You do a lot of writing and speaking, and you understand these issues. But this thing that he was talking about in the Constitution, he was adamant that we should include medical freedom. And that would have been back, 1787, that he was advocating for that. And here we are now really fighting for medical freedom, informed consent. And I was just thinking about it, Jill. I had to get a medication, and with the medication came this pamphlet, which I haven't really, but I've saved it because I think in the pamphlet it has to have all the adverse effects of that medication that's gone through FDA testing. But I'm wondering if people that are getting this experimental drug vaccine are getting that pamphlet. I'm not sure there's a pamphlet that exists on that. Do you know?
I doubt they are. They never do for any other vaccine. You don't get it's called a package insert. You don't get the package insert. You can ask for it. But also, it's only going to be the side effects that were recorded and reported at the time of the initial research. It may not reflect ongoing complications. And somebody like Vioxx, those complications for which they took it off the market, and there was a huge class action lawsuit against Vioxx for causing deaths from heart attack and stroke, those weren't reflected in that pamphlet. Certainly not in correct numbers. And I'm looking online, and it's kind of like, okay, now we've got clotting problems. We've got weird bleeding problems, weird spontaneous bleeding problems that could affect your the platelets in your body. I mean, we don't, and at this point, all this stuff is being thrown out there because people are having really weird things happen close enough to the time that they get the vaccine that they're wondering, is this from the vaccine? Well, we don't even know that. I mean, so before they even find out if these weird people with weird bleeds in their brain or something like that from, and there's a nurse that died in Wisconsin. She had a subarachnoid hemorrhage in her brain shortly, within 2 days after getting the vaccine. and she died from it. Totally bizarre, out of the blue. So there are weird things being reported. We're questioning whether it has to do with the vaccine, but they're just keep pushing everybody to get the vaccine so fast that, hold on, folks, if this were a regular drug, they'd say, hold on, we're taking it off the market for a while. We're going to do more studies. Mm-hmm. And they did that with the J&J vaccine. Didn't last very long. Now they're going to re-release the J&J vaccine, even though they had some serious, these clotting abnormalities, these bizarre clotting abnormalities that are otherwise very, very rare. So it's weird. And the thing is, this is really a bipartisan issue, because if 50% of the United States, of people surveyed in the United States, do not trust this vaccine, and that's actually happening worldwide, there are people in every country that are going to go, I'm not trusting this vaccine, I don't want to have it. This is one of the few issues where we can bind together on both sides of the aisle, regardless of your political stand, to fight this thing. What if 50% of the people in this country, those that don't trust the vaccine, decided, you know what, I'm not going to send my kid to that college? 50%? Now, chances are it's not going to affect your daughter's gender studies, degree, right? It's not going to really affect her long-term career goals based on her college degree. And colleges have, been indoctrinating our kids for so long. Maybe this is, maybe we turn it around on them and say, no, you're not going to force me, because my other choice is either my kid can have the vaccine and go to your college, and face it, these kids are 18 years old and older. They can decide on their own, and they may choose to have the vaccine so they can stay in school. But what happens if the people paying the bills decide, you're not going to get my money anymore because you're forcing my kid to have this experimental drug?
And I wonder,
one other thing before, because I know we're close on time.
Yeah, do.
There's a great video, and I sent you and Steve the link to this video. Everybody needs to watch this if they have questions about this or angry about it. There are some things that people can do to fight this. Number one, you already have the white paper. I think I sent you the link to that from Frontline Doctors from the show a couple weeks ago, two or three weeks ago.
And we've got that link in there.
Research on the vaccines. Yes. So you've got that one. The other one is there's a YouTube video, a thing called Valuetainment, Valuetainment, like entertainment, only Valuetainment. The guy does great in general. He does really great interviews. But this one is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has a whole website on vaccine research. It's RFK Jr.'s son. He's a lawyer. I have been for decades. Does a ton of research on the vaccines. We went to a rally that was like across the board. Every kind of person you can imagine was at this rally at the Capitol with him. And he's debating Alan Dershowitz. If you remember, I think it was on CNN or Fox News, Alan Dershowitz says, yes, the government can force you to have a vaccine. So these two are debating. And it's great because Alan Dershowitz, actually, he says, I stand by what I said, that the government can force us to have something for the public good, right? The common welfare kind of thing in the Constitution, which they should have elaborated on further. But in their debate, he said, I actually now agree with RFK Jr. They cannot, if this is an experimental vaccine, it has not been proven safe and effective. If they have not proven it to be safe and effective, they cannot force us to have it. So this is where, now we've got enough people that are going to be affected by this ruling of the colleges that there need to be a whole bunch of lawsuits.
Okay, well.
We have feet to stand on, especially when Alan Dershowitz, that this answer is not over. The government cannot force us to have an experimental drug.
Okay, well, Jill, we're going to be, and I'm going to just tease it, there's going to be an announcement, I think, tomorrow on something very cool that you and I are, and some other people are going to be doing on this. Would you do me a favor? Would you resend the links on both of those so that we can include those in today's recap, which then that's up with the podcast tomorrow so that people can go to those links tomorrow? We'll make sure that we get that in the recap.
Okay, I already sent you the video.
Okay. One other thing, Jill, and I know this is really important, and today is the National Day of Prayer. And you and I have talked about this, and this is when what we need to do for our country. So every day, everybody today, we need to ask the Divine Provider to not abandon us, but to give us guidance for our country. Jill, and I, your final comment on that.
You know, this is a time when this could be the issue that brings a bunch of us together. And if we cave as a country to this mandate, then, you know, we keep saying it's over, it's over, it's over. But can you imagine one giant leap for socialism and one giant fallback for anyone who wants to preserve Christianity in this country? Because that's one of the first things socialism and communism does, is get rid of God. And it's all part of the same game plan. You know, it's all part of the same game.
So today I would recommend... Well, everybody today, take some time, get down on our knees and pray for the Divine Provider to continue to bless this country. And then we need to stand, because we stand on the shoulders of giants. Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much. We're going to have this big announcement tomorrow morning.
Great. Take care.
Okay. And we're going to jump over here to Jason McBride, Senior VP, Presidential Wealth Management. Jason, today is the National Day of Prayer. I know that that's something that's important to you and your family.
Yeah, absolutely. And it should be important every day. But I'm glad we do still have a national day of that, with all the other things are making special for a day or a week or even a month. You know, I would be not surprised if that's another holiday that tries to get crowded out at some point.
You think? That's for sure. Hey, Jason, there's a lot of unknowns out there. We're going to be talking about this experimental drug vaccine, and people should have their choice. That's the whole thing on this, is we have this big debate. It should not be political. People should be able to make their informed choice, and it's their own personal choice on what they want to do on that. I'm just really concerned about these mandates and this potential kind of coercion through vaccine passports. What's your thoughts on that, Jason?
Yeah, it's very disturbing. And, you know, also I think it's disturbing seeing the way that a lot of the companies and corporations are going along with this. Even if the mandates go away, you still might have companies that force you to wear a mask or take the vaccine or whatever just to work with them, which is very frustrating. Kim, I find it frustrating that we've got so many people that have been vaccinated. Again, that was supposed to be the solution, and yet we still have mask mandates. We still have social distancing. You know, it doesn't feel like anything has really changed all that much, even with this vaccine. So you find yourself saying, you know, what's the point?
Yeah, the question of why. So, hey, Jason, we're jammed up today on time, but I just wanted to get your opinion on that. And you're doing these annuity reviews, which I think is really important. If people have an annuity, you'll sit down and go through the details on that. How can people reach you to do that?
Yeah, Kim, and keep in mind, that's no obligation, no high pressure, absolutely free. Make your appointment for that or anything else to do with your own personal economy. Our number is 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, we will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Kim, have a great show.
You bet. And we'll be right back with Karen Levine and then Dr. James Lyons Weiler. Stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. Another way that I'm on the air is I have great sponsors and partners, and one of them is Karen Levine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and you can reach her at 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. And I know that the market, the home buying market, is very tight right now. You need a professional to help you navigate through this. I've known Karen for over 30 years. I so recommend her, 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, welcome to the show. I wanted to get all that out there because there's a couple of things I quickly wanted to get to because you spend a lot of time on working to preserve this opportunity for people to have home ownership as well as rental properties. And I had a couple of questions on that. First of all, you're in the middle of meetings right now with the National Association Board of Realtors, of which you sit on, regarding legislative policy. And I know that it's really eye-opening. You're working in this battle of narratives right now, Karen.
Yes, the legislative meetings are held every May for the National Association of Realtors, and we started those meetings on Monday. And the legislative agenda that the National Association of Realtors is putting forth is pretty extensive, with several things that are very close to my heart. One is what we call the 1031 exchange, which allows people to take investment property and exchange it into a like-type property without having to pay capital gains at the time of that exchange. And that is under attack. So we're keeping a close eye on that one.
Well, and it's a double whammy because the Harris-Biden administration is saying they want to also then increase the capital gains tax. What this does to private property ownership, the big, broad middle class, is just so concerning. The other thing I wanted to just quickly ask you, and that was, this was reported in the Denverite, that Denver wants to force landlords to get licenses to rent their properties. I find that just disturbing as well. That, again, it's another assault on private property rights, Karen.
Yes, and it's not that they're asking. It has already passed at City Council, and it's a phase-in process, but anyone who holds two or more units, this is my understanding, will have to register their rental units. Those rental units will then be, I'm sure, feed or taxed, probably not taxed because they'd have to ask. And it's a severe attack on private property rights, in my opinion, and the opinion of the Denver Metro Association of Realtors Government Affairs Committee. We came out against that proposal, and the City Council literally closed their doors on having any discussion with us.
Boy, we need to show up at the ballot box here, yeah. And we need to elect people that are representing everyday people instead of all of these special interests and these agendas. Karen Levine, the work that you are doing, it's really very kind of founding fatherish, what you are doing in working on this narrative. Again, how can people reach you, Karen Levine, if they want to buy or sell their home?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516, and I would be more than happy to talk to any of them about the things and the conditions of the market and how I can help them with their real estate investments.
Most definitely. And people need to be working with somebody that understands all these nuances. So Karen Levine, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Kim.
And on the line with me is Dr. James Lyons-Weiler, and he is the founder of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. And I feel like he's been on the show regularly now, and I feel like I can now call you Jack instead of Dr. James Lyons-Weiler. Is that okay with you?
Yes, please do, Kim. Thank you for that very much.
Jack, I could not believe it. Out here in Colorado, there's reports that CU in Colorado Springs, CSU, and CSU Pueblo are requiring the COVID-19 experimental drug vaccine for students, faculty, and staff for the fall semester. Fortunately, Colorado Mesa University in Grand Junction will not. But what's your thoughts on this, Jack?
Well, my thoughts are that people should place a demand on public health officials to provide the following information. What is the number of students that need to vaccinate to protect one life in that age group? That number must be astronomical. There's no evidence whatsoever that children or young adults are at anywhere near the same risk of people that are older and have skewed immune systems. People with autoimmunity are highest risk. People that walked into this disease with autoimmune antibodies already are the ones who are getting sick with COVID-19. People who do not have autoimmune prone immune systems skate. They just don't get sick. And they probably don't even transmit, because you have to have high viremia and symptoms to transmit. So we're at a point right now where we understand that the efficacy of the vaccines is not at all what's being represented. Dr. Peter Doshi here in the United States estimates that Pfizer's vaccine might only be 19 to 29% effective. And the reason why we're hearing higher numbers is because they leave patients out of the study who had suspected COVID-19. It's very similar to the Moderna study that left out patients who got COVID-19 after the first dose. If I ran a cancer chemotherapy trial and I left people out that died after the first dose but didn't ever get the second dose, that would amplify the success rate of the chemotherapy trial. And when you have a vaccine that's not 100% effective, 95% effective, probably not even 75% effective, then the public health equations, the mathematics of vaccination, tell us that you have to have 100% coverage to try to achieve herd immunity. But we're not going to be able to achieve herd immunity because we're not going to be able to get to 100% vaccine coverage anyway. Millions of people around the country and around the world are refusing the second vaccine because they had such a bad reaction. People are scared that if they take the vaccine and then they have a very severe reaction, that severe symptoms, that perhaps they are among the population that will then suffer from the phenomenon of pathogenic priming, where the first vaccine dose actually set you up for a very serious, potentially fatal reaction to the second one. Now, in terms of numbers, it's easy to use this phraseology and this language, but in terms of numbers, right, the absolute risk of vaccine death and injury in this population that's going to school, is death is probably very low itself. But the long-term health consequences of these vaccines is unknown. And being unknown doesn't make it scary, but knowing what we know about the long-term consequences of being exposed to these viral proteins in terms of their potential to cause autoimmunity and increase autoimmunity in the population. You know, we have over 54% of people in that age group already have a chronic condition, a lifelong chronic condition. They're the most vaccinated generation ever in the history of the planet. They are subject already to this massive, prolonged experiment of vaccination after vaccination with vaccines that contain high amounts of aluminum, toxic amounts of aluminum in the first few years of life. And aluminum is known to cause autoimmunity. So we could see that this initial trial to get these patients enrolled into a long-term safety trial by coercion, that you can't come to college unless you're vaccinated, is going to backfire? Are the colleges and universities going to be held liable and responsible for any deaths that occur after the vaccine? Or are they just going to continue to deny that those deaths are attributed to the vaccine? When we see the percentages of injuries and deaths that occur, it's going to be very difficult to deny it. It already is very difficult to deny it. There's over 3,400 deaths in the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. That's the national tracking system for vaccine adverse events. And that's over 100 times higher than what we should be seeing over the short period of time since the vaccine's been on the market.
Dr. James Lyons-Weiler. And I get that out there because many times when people tune in, they don't know who I'm talking to. So I always like to add that in there. But Jack, I have people that I care about, my friends, family members that have been adamant on getting vaccinated so that they can go back and start to live their lives. What do you say to people that have gotten, because I think informed consent is so important. If somebody feels compelled, they've looked at what they've looked at, they say, I want to get it. Great. That's freedom. This whole coercion, I have to say, why coercion? If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to coerce people. But what do you say to those loved ones, our friends and our family that have gotten the vaccine? And actually, somebody said, don't call it a vaccine because it's not really a vaccine. It's an experimental drug therapy right now.
Well, look at it this way. If I were vaccinated, I could put a billboard up, I could put a sticker on, I could go around telling people I was vaccinated, I can tell them when, I can tell them why, I can tell them where. But if I was injured by a vaccine, then I'm a conspiracy theorist and I'm an anti-vaxxer and I'm putting other people in harm's way. In reality, what we're going to see is that so many of these people who now are psychologically attached to they're doing it for the greater good, and the government says that it's safe, and nothing bad is going to happen to me. And look, I did this. The severity of my reaction just means that the vaccine's working. Well, unfortunately, when in 6 months' time, 8 months' time, when they go for the booster, I'm sorry to have to predict this, but I predicted it in April 2020 in a peer-reviewed publication. A significant percentage of these people are going to experience what's called pathogenic priming. When autoimmunity reaction due to secondary exposure, either to a viral infection or to the vaccine again, they did the animal trials on previous versions of coronavirus vaccines, and these animals developed, they died and they got sick upon exposure to the vaccine. So I don't want to cause mass fear or anything like that, but people have to realize this is what the science says, that if you're vaccinated and then you're exposed to the wild type virus, that secondary exposure could cause a cascade of events that happen in your immune system where you become, you know, sick and die or just really seriously ill. And then every subsequent exposure after that, you know, makes. And so the argument then circles back around, well, then shouldn't everybody be vaccinated because that will prevent that? But no, you know, the prevent transmission. No, that's the whole thing. This vaccine does not prevent transmission. It reduces the seriousness of the symptoms. And we know that it doesn't produce transmission because we have breakthrough infections that are occurring. And the CDC actually is counting when they do the diagnosis, Kim. If prior to breakthrough vaccinations, they would use a PCR cycle threshold of 40, 45, and now they only want to hear about it if it's greater than 28. So it's one set of rules if you're vaccinated, and it's another set of rules if you're unvaccinated in terms of how they're going to count you as a COVID-19 breakthrough case. So, you know, we cannot just simply have a PR campaign or a propaganda campaign way out of this. This is not semantics. This is not rhetoric. This is your immune system. This is Mother Nature, who honed that immune system over hundreds of millions of years to react to viruses using oxygen gases and nitrogen gases and the innate immune system. Everybody is taught, or everybody knows now, a little bit about immunity because of antibodies and so on. But the vaccine tricks the immune system into becoming reactive to the virus as if it were a bacterial infection, And so your innate immune system doesn't get a chance. So your adaptive immune system takes off before the innate immune system gets a chance. And what I would say to people that are concerned about this is go talk to a naturopath physician, go talk to an osteopath or a chiropractor about protocols that are out there that can help you have a healthier innate immune reaction to viruses. And if you are vaccinated, you do not want to get the infection. You still have to act as though you could potentially be infected.
Okay. So that's, I think, one of the things I wanted to get to. So, because, like I say, I have a number of friends, family, people that I really care about and love that have made the choice. And actually, in some cases, under coercion, it may be that it was an elderly person so that they could get out and go to doctor's appointments. Or there's people that want to travel, or there's people that have had issues that they now feel much safer. But like I say, there's people that I love and care about and respect that have chosen that. And so I'm concerned. So I think what you're saying is the regimen that looks like it's been very effective, you know, through this, that people have had that are more natural, as if you've had the vaccine, certainly consider doing that. I think that's what I'm hearing you say, Jack.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that people that are vaccinated are still at risk, right? So the social contract of if you get vaccinated, you'll be protected, you'll be able to go back to normal, that we know that that's not true. We know that that's not true. Anthony Fauci says that's not true. The CDC says that's not true. If you're vaccinated, here's why you should still mask, they say. And then they want to roll out these passports. And the passports themselves, all the passports do is they will increase vaccination because people will comply. But they will increase the incidence of vaccine injury, but they won't stop transmission. And the irony is, and it's a very sad irony, is that 80% of the people that walked into this infection, right, that got serious COVID-19 or died, 80% of those people had already had autoimmune antibodies, whereas 7 or 8% of people that had mild symptoms with a bona fide verified COVID infection and had the COVID diagnosis and did not get seriously ill had autoimmunity. So fate, it seems, is not without irony that the same people that we're trying to protect, those who can't vaccinate, will end up stop vaccinating because of their direct personal experience with the vaccine. And then they're going to be told by society, but you can't go to the store and buy a melon because you don't have a vaccine passport. So passports are going to create an instant second-class citizenry out of the very people that the vaccines are supposed to, through herd immunity, protect, the people that cannot vaccinate. And, you know, I have a success record in my predictions. In April 2020, I published a list of the proteins that our bodies were likely to experience problems with that are in the virus and through autoimmunity. And, you know, I predicted the thrombocytopenia. If you look at the list of the proteins, I predicted follistatin problems. Now women are having problems with their menstrual cycles. Okay, so it's like I'm watching a nightmare unfold and I can see where all the pieces of the puzzle are going to fall. The only thing I think that can save us is treatment. And then people have to be aware. And one thing that I want to get in here is that there's a company called Sanitize or something like that. It's done phase one and phase two clinical trials. They're out of Canada. And they have a nasal spray of nitric oxide that actually clears the virus in 95% of the people with COVID-19 who use it within 24 hours, even on their deathbed. This is an incredible breakthrough. It's very important.
Jack,
it's going to phase three clinical trials in the UK right now.
Okay. Hey, Jack, we need to go and take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is really interesting. We're talking about a treatment for the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great sponsor of both this show and America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. They are just a great knife and tool store. They're located in Sedalia, Colorado, family-owned business, entrepreneurs. They have blades from the best makers from throughout the world. They're starting a new custom rifle division. They've got these great watches. Go to castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Dr. James Lyons-Weiler.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. Another force word is coercion. We are seeing coercion with a number of these colleges and universities saying that if you're going to attend school in the fall semester, you have to get this experimental drug vaccine. And coercion, if you have to coerce people, then you maybe want to ask some additional questions. And one of the foremost experts on this is Dr. James Lyons Weiler. He is the founder of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. And Jack, the interviews with you go way too quickly, and I cut you off just a little bit, but you mentioned there's a treatment out there, a nasal treatment that could be effective even for people that are quite ill with the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus?
Yeah, it's nitric oxide, and it's basically part of what our innate immune system uses to fight viruses, and it comes in the form of a nasal spray. It's going into phase 3 clinical trials in the UK. It's available over the counter, and so you're not going to hear about it very much. But nitric oxide is an option that you can talk with your doctors about and look it up on the internet. There's mainstream media has covered it. It's out on MSN and so on. Let's relate the treatment option to the passports. If society right now is concerned that, we have to have passports to make sure everyone, we increase vaccination as high as we can, in reality, there's a couple of other secondary effects. By requiring passports, the people that cannot vaccinate won't be able to go out into society. So in a way, they're protected, but they're on permanent lockdown. We can't run our society with 54% of people who are aged, 16 to 30, not being able to go out into society. Those are the people who have chronic illnesses, probably as a result of being over-vaccinated with too much aluminum. And the treatments themselves that we're learning about are so effective. The treatment with ivermectin, which is allowed by the NIH, is up to your doctor to give you ivermectin. The hydroxychloroquine, which has efficacy that was buried by Dr. Anthony Fauci by misinterpretation of the Henry Ford study. These treatments make passports completely and utterly beside the point. Because if it becomes a trivial thing to treat, then people will simply take their nitric oxide nasal spray prophylactically before they go out. So it's very important that science make a major sea change, a huge shift in focus, and that society, people, everyday people need to start clamoring about treatments for COVID-19. And I'm going to send people to C19study.com. That's C19study.com for all the studies that show the efficacy of widely available, FDA-approved treatments. And unless and until we do that, we're going to see a second-class citizenry. It's going to be blacks only, whites only, drinking fountains, that kind of thing again. Unbelievably, in the state of Washington, Governor Inslee saying that we need to have vaccinated versus unvaccinated sections in facilities, public facilities. which is ridiculous. That's not going to happen in the United States. So, you know, this is actually a human rights, it's a civil rights issue, and if the answer is as simple as taking a nasal spray treatment or a small pill like hydroxychloroquine prophylactically, maybe these medical doctors will finally wake up when they realize that they're going to have to own two different facilities. They have to have a facility for those Americans who will vaccinate and another medical facility for those who won't vaccinate. If we're going to discriminate, separate but equal doesn't work under the U.S. Constitution. So
no,
we really have to take a deep breath at this point in time and say we are the United States of America. Let's stay that way.
Most definitely. And Dr. James Lyons-Weiler with the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge, thank you so much for joining us today. This is important information, and just really appreciate it. And we'll get you scheduled again very, very soon.
Thank you, Kim. People should drop by ipaknowledge.org and support the scientific research we do that way. Thank you.
That's ipaknowledge.org. And our quote for today is from Benjamin Rush. He said, temperate, sincere, and intelligent inquiry and discussion are only to be dreaded by the advocates of error. The truth need not fear them. My friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals and, like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't